That was Muggsy Spanier doing the track Riverboat Shuffle, recorded in 1939 in New York City. And it featured Muggsy Spanier and his ragtime band. Muggsy Spanier playing cornet there. George Brunis on trombone and vocal. Rod Gless on clarinet. Bernie Billings on tenor. Joe Bushkin on piano. Bob Casey on bass. And Don Carter on the drums. You can hear the riverboat there for sure. In re-examining earlier jazz pieces, Muggsy could hardly overlook the work of Bix Beiderbecke. And yes, we covered Bix a few episodes ago, so go back and check him out. Fabulous. Bix Beiderbecke, who had made a version of this Hoagy Carmichael tune back in 1924. Interestingly, Muggsy completely avoids copying Bix's style and instead applies his own Oliver-derived hard swinging approach to the piece. The Bix version sounds wooden and primitive compared to Muggsy's full-toned arrangement and clever sequence of solos. Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and on this episode, we look at the life of Muggsy Spanier and listen to a little bit of his revival music. The jazz revival of the 1940s might never have happened in quite the way it did if Muggsy Spanier had not returned from illness to lead his ragtime band in Chicago. Although the band existed for less than a year, the records it made became a fad among collectors and had an impact that resounded all around the world. Muggsy managed to bring back into the limelight the earlier values of King Oliver's generation. Swinging lead, heartfelt blues, and a drifting ensemble sound, thrilling in its intensity and infectious beat. Who was Muggsy Spanier? Francis Muggsy Spanier was born in Chicago to a hardworking Irish-born mother, Kate, and a largely absentee father, William. He inherited his mother's charm, but combined it with his father's ne'er-too-well instincts and fondness for the bottle. More than once in his life, he suffered near-fatal collapse from drink or from the musician's grueling lifestyle. But somehow, his indomitable spirit always rallied him back to playing the cornet and band-leading. As a soloist, he continued the hard-driving New Orleans style of Joe King Oliver, which he learned directly from the king himself. Like Oliver, he became a master of mutes, and in particular, the plunger mute, used alone or in conjunction with a little straight mute that had since belonged to Oliver. Muggsy's plunger brought to his blues work a soulful quality, unrivaled by any other white jazz cornetist. All right, let's move on to another track. You're listening to the Jazz Treasury. Let's listen to Relaxin' at the Toro. And this will be the same clientele, the same personnel we heard in Riverboat Shuffle, so we don't need to go over that. Let's listen to Muggsy Spanier do Relaxin' at the Toro. Thank you. right, that was Muggsy Spanier, Relaxin' at the Turo. 1939, once again, New York City, Muggsy puts his heart into the opening choruses of this piece, which was written as a tribute to the hospital in which he recovered from his near-fatal illness. He shares the main solos with co-composer Joe Bushkin, though the number seems to have been not so much composed as distilled from his favorite blues licks arranged into a coherent framework. Neat arranged passages behind the trombone and clarinet build the tension toward a low-key ending. Relaxin' at the Turo. Muggsy was talented enough to have lessons from a couple of celebrated classical brass players, but, as with many largely self-taught musicians, aspects of his early approach to the instrument remained with him for life. He never developed much of a range, and a high C, a commonplace for a player such as Louis Armstrong or Jabbo Smith, as well as Muggsy's white Chicagoan contemporary Jimmy McPartland, was a rarity in his playing. He never progressed to the sharper tone trumpet, as most other 1920s cornists did, and preferred to hone and polish the style within a considerable self-imposed limit. The benefits were that he developed a great power, a strong sense of rhythm, and a marvelous burnished tone. In the years up to the Wall Street crash in 1929, Muggsy became increasingly busy as a freelance, playing on plenty of live dates and record sessions. Unlike many musicians whose careers were ruined by the crash, Muggsy had already taken a step that protected his career. Early in 1929, he had joined the orchestra led by clarinetist Ted Lewis. Okay, let's listen to another track from Muggsy Spanier. I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate. You may have heard this one before. It's a classic, so let's move on and listen to I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate.
Listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
All right, Muggsy Spanier, I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate. 1939, New York City, allegedly written by trombonist Kid Ory and subsequently appropriated by violinist and bandleader Armin Perron, this old standard was much recorded in the early 1920s by white New York bands such as the California Ramblers, the Cotton Pickers, and the Goofus Five. The native New Orleanian George Brunnis catches an innate sense of hometown swing in his earthy vocals there. In New Orleans in 1938, after suffering a shakeup in a minor car accident, Muggsy collapsed with a perforated ulcer. He almost failed to survive his stay in hospital. His doctor wrote to Spanier's second wife, Ruth, that he had every complication a person could develop. Friends were aghast at his condition and rallied round. Ted Lewis contributed a generous check towards the hospital expenses. Nobody seriously thought a man who had been so ill would make the kind of recovery that would allow him to resume the grueling late nights and constant travel of a jazz musician. Only his physician, Alton Ochsner, believed his tough little patient had it in him to return to playing and ensured that, for much of the year Muggsy took to recover, his cornet was near at hand. Let's listen to another track. Squeeze Me. Squeeze Me was recorded in New York City 1 year later, 1940, but this time with a small group, with Sidney Bechet playing clarinet. It's called Bechet Spanier Big Four, with Muggsy on cornet, Sidney Bechet on clarinet and soprano sax, Carmen Mastrin on guitar, and a sweet guitar piece here, Wellman Broad on bass. This is recorded March 28, 1940 in New York City. Let's listen to Squeeze Me on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Squeeze me. Muggsy Spanier, New York City, 1940, in a medium tempo rendition of Fats Waller's well-known cleaned-up version of his body song, A Boy in a Boat. Pache and Spanier again prove their mastery of this gentle speed. The descending figures at the end are given their full dramatic weight, and the utmost ballad feeling is extracted from the tune. The cohesive power of the band's sound was due in no small measure to the close bond of experience between Spanier, Rod Kless, and George Brunis, and in the latter stages, in the addition of pianist Joe Bushkin to his circle. Other members came and went, but despite changes of personnel and the absence of a guitar from all but the first records, the sound of the Ragtimers became one of the most distinctive and immediately recognizable in jazz. Because the band was perceived as an anachronism by promoters, however, it was not rebooked after its two long engagements and broke up on 12th of December, 1939. Muggsy returned to the safety net of Ted Lewis's band. The draft depleted the ranks of Muggsy's big band, as it did so many others, although he had a long and successful residency at New York's Arcadia Ballroom to sustain him. The stress of running his band made him ill, and his orchestra broke up. So, too, did any lasting friendship with his brother, who ended up by suing him. Muggsy hardly ever appeared again in a big band format. He occasionally played under other leaders, and on one or two occasions, such as a memorable record date produced by Fred Astaire, dusted off the old arrangements and led his own orchestra. For the most part, he spent his declining years doing what he did best, playing in small Dixieland groups led by himself or an equally significant name, such as Earl Hines. One more track. Let's listen to one more track here from Muggsy Spanier. Lazy River, and this is played by the same band, Pache Spanier Big Four, and this was recorded in the same place, New York City, 1940. Let's listen to Lazy River on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Lazy River, 1940, the Carmichael song. Sidney Bechet teamed up with Muggsy in 1940 to create the Big Four, in which the soprano saxophonist and clarinetist produced some of the most enduring small group playing Spaniards Melancholy Horn. Spaniards Melancholy Horn and Bechet's throbbing vibrato made a perfect partnership, and their ballad and blues playing, in particular, was exquisite. Carmen Mastrin and Wellman Broad create a minimalist backdrop for these two great masters to display their partnership. For the rest of his life, Muggsy either led bands at the club or ventured out on the road as part of a sextet. From time to time, his drinking would get the better of him, but his wife, Ruth, encouraged him to keep attending meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. Despite the occasional relapse and collapse, Muggsy managed to keep performing until not long before his death in 1967. All right, that's all for this edition of the Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for listening. In case you want to get to, here's some recommended listening for you. Steady Roll Blues, 1924. Dallas Blues, 1931. A Good Man Is Hard to Find, 1940. And Careless Love, in 1954. And this will give you Muggsy Spanier's long recording career, spanned 40 years. And it gives you 1924 to 1954 with some of those tracks there. All right, thanks for listening in. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we're going to learn about Monk and Powell, the Thelonious Monk and the Bud Powell, two geniuses. Look forward to that. Don't forget to visit our Facebook page, the Jazz Treasury Podcast, and give us a like. Any comments or reviews or rates would be fabulous on iTunes. Tell your friends, tell your family. Thanks for keeping the jazz flame alive. Until next time, enjoy the jazz.